Father, we pray, bless the word of God and this time in the word together to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Let's marvel once again this morning at God's amazing grace as we consider this incredible story in the gospel of Jesus and the 10 lepers. This story is only in the book of Luke. It's here in Luke 17. And more than just highlight the divine identity of Jesus, though it certainly does that, the purpose of this is to highlight the response of those who had found grace, the response of those who had been, in this case, been healed. It really is an important lesson for us on thankfulness, for we have found such grace. And how fitting it is in the life of a believer, a grace believer, when we have a growing understanding of what it means that we have found grace, that we would be thankful people. If I am speaking more about my troubles and my problems than I am about God's faithfulness and blessings in my life, I think that's out of balance. A spirit-filled Christian is a thankful person. We don't have to think too much before we can begin to count our blessings. Salvation alone is such a marvel and a wonder. Colossians 3:15 says, "And you be thankful." The Greek word there is eucharistos. The Greek word for grace is charis, and it's right in the middle of that word, thankfulness. Grace is right in the middle of the word, because grace means I have received that which I do not deserve, I cannot earn, and yet I have freely been given it. And therefore, the fruit of grace should be thankfulness. But if I think that I've earned it or I deserve it, then the thankfulness is diminished, is it not? So let's go to our text together. In 17:11, it says, as it happened, he went to Jerusalem. We remember now we are on that long and winding road. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Back in 9:51, it said, "Now when the time came for Jesus to be received up, he set his face like a flint steadfastly to Jerusalem." This was, as he knew, his final destination where he would face the cross. "And as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee," this is probably took place on the border of Samaria and Galilee, and we notice that in this group of 10 lepers, one of them was a Samaritan. What's interesting about that is the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They would never have any relationship or anything to do with each other, and yet they were all lepers. And somehow those cultural or religious borders didn't seem so important when they were together in such suffering. And it says in verse 12 that as he entered a certain village, they met him. This is significant because this was their opportunity. They could not be in the village or in the town because they were lepers. They were to be separate from the society. So as Jesus was entering in, this was their opportunity to call out to him, to meet him in this moment. And that's what they did. These 10 men who were lepers, as he entered, they cried out. Because there were laws concerning leprosy. I'll read it to you from Leviticus 13. It says, "His clothes shall be torn, his head shall be bare, he will cover his lower face, and he will cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp or outside the town." And that's why we read, "They stood afar off." Leprosy serves as a powerful picture for us of a disease that you and I have, that every man has. It's an internal, incurable disease called sin. And because of that sin, we were caused to stand far off from God. But Ephesians 2:14, it says, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And part of what the Holy Spirit teaches us is how far off we were and how close we have been made to Jesus. So close that the Bible says that we are in him, that we have been united with him, we have been accepted in the beloved. They stood afar off. But this is why Jesus came. He came for sinners. He came for the lost. He came for the leper. He came for those who stood afar off, those who were separated from God. That's why he came. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy 1. He says, oh, this is a saying worthy of all acceptance, that God came to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. And Paul says, and I am chief of sinners. And here lies the gospel, that the God of grace in 1 Peter 5:10 came for the chief of sinners. The God of grace and the chief of sinners, there lies the gospel. It's why he came. He forgives, he gives grace. But we do not deserve it. We are unworthy. Like the publican who just pounded his chest as he couldn't even look up and he says, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or like Jacob in Genesis 32, he said, oh God, I am not worthy of the least of your mercies. What a wonderful phrase that is. I am not worthy of the least of your mercies, but we could say, and yet you have given us the greatest of your mercies, the abundance of your mercy we have received, and yet we are not worthy. This makes me think of Peter when he met the Lord. Let's go there for a moment in Luke 5. When Peter saw it, what did he see? He saw the miracle of the fish, remember? And Peter, as a fisherman, knew without question this was a miracle. This was a work of God. He knew that he was in the very presence of God. And what did he do when he realized that he, as a sinner, was in the presence of God? It says he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man. In other words, I must stand afar off, for you are God, and I am a sinner. But Jesus commissions Peter, right? He shows grace to him, because grace does not say, stand afar off. Grace says, come near, draw near, find mercy, find forgiveness, find grace. It's no accident that this story of Peter's encounter with the Lord is followed immediately by another story of a leper being healed. Notice in Luke 5, it happened when he was in a certain city, and behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell down on his face, and he implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, Peter was with Jesus at this point, and he saw this account, and I feel it would have been very instructive to Peter and the other disciples, because Peter had said, depart from me, and this leper said, if you will, you can make me clean. That's different, isn't it? And the more we understand grace, the quicker we will say, you can make me clean. Not depart from me, but you can make me clean. And then we read, and then Jesus put out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now this is astounding. You would not do that. Even a family member, a friend, no one would do that in society. You would not go near to a leper. And if you would touch the leper, you would become you would become defiled. You would perhaps contract the disease yourself. But that's not what happened when Jesus touched the leper. Virtue went out of him and the leper was healed. Grace says, you can be cleansed, you can be forgiven, you can be healed. as the hymn says, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Don't wait. Come to him. Come to him. Jesus touched the leper. This is an amazing gospel truth. Listen. That God touches the leper. That God came and comes for the sinner, for the chief of sinners. That's why he came. No one is excluded. No one is too far. No one is too lost. That grace won't find them. We are lepers that have been healed. What does that mean to us? We would consider it every day, what God has done. Would that not evoke thankfulness to be born afresh again and again in our hearts? And notice in the next verse, Jesus charged him to tell no one. That must have been difficult. You want to tell everyone? But he said, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. Take note of that. Why did he say that? Because there was a law in Leviticus that if a leper would be healed, they had to go to the priest, and the priest had to examine it and confirm that he really was healed, and then he could go back into the community. Remember that. The problem is, I could imagine that that particular law was never really needed, for lepers really weren't healed. And maybe the priest is one day in the temple and he's about his business and a man comes along. What can I do? I was a leper and I think I'm healed. Can you confirm it? And the priest looks, are you sure you're a leper? Yes, for years and years I've been a leper. How did that happen? His name was Jesus. Wow. And the priest says, yes, you're healed. I confirm it. And then perhaps another one would come, and another one. And on this day, perhaps nine, and then another one would come to the priest and say, we were healed by Jesus. So let's go back to our story. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They saw the opportunity and they cried out with a loud voice. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus, remember in Mark 10? And he heard that Jesus was passing by and he began to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the disciples of all people are saying, shh, quiet. He's too busy. Don't trouble the Master. And when Jesus heard, he said, bring him to me. And he healed him. And Bartimaeus followed him in the way. It says that Bartimaeus just cried out all the more. He cried out with a loud voice, as did these lepers. What did they ask for? Have mercy on us. Master, this word is only used by Luke, in Luke and Acts, always by the disciples, always by the followers, and it's used to refer to one who had the authority and the power to act or to work miracles. It seems that they had some measure of faith and expectation here. So verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now we understand what that means. Notice, he didn't say, be cleansed. He didn't touch the lepers. He gave them a command that they would go to the priests. But you would only do that when you were healed. It's strange that he would make that commandment. But notice this wonderful phrase. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, perhaps they went on the merit or on the stock of what he said. They said, or maybe by the time we get there, we'd be healed. We have called him Master. We are believed. Let's go. And they began to go to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And again, how do you explain that? It was such a miracle. Without question, it was a miracle. Just like Naaman in the Old Testament, remember when he came up out of the Jordan, it says that his flesh had become again like a little child's flesh, and he was healed. It was a miracle. And this phrase, as they went, this is an important faith principle to remember. Someone might say, well, when I'm healed, I'll go. But maybe as you go, you'll be healed. Someone might say, well, when I get the evidence, I'll believe. Well, maybe if you go, you get the evidence. Someone says, well, when I have the words, then I'll go and I'll speak. But maybe as you go, you'll be given the words. It's a faith principle that I go by faith. I believe him that when I go, I will meet him there and he will do an amazing work. And they were cleansed. Now, they all saw that they were healed, right? Imagine you're a band of brothers, 10 of you. You've been in that sorrowful situation and relationship for many years. This little band of 10 lepers. And they go show yourself to the priest. So one of them, you know, they begin to move. And they're trudging down the road towards the priest. And they're thinking, oh, we're going to the priest, really? And they're talking to each other. And all of a sudden, one of them says, wait, I am healed. And they pull down the veil and they look at each other and they realize, we've all been healed. This is incredible. What shall we do? And one of them says, well, we've got to quickly get to the priest and get this confirmed. I want to get home. I want to get back to my farm or my life or my friends. I want to go back to my town. I want to see my wife. I want to get on with my life. And one of them says, wait, don't you think we should turn back? Don't you think we should return to Jesus and thank him and give glory to God? Nine kept going, and we read in verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. On the way there, I think as he's returning, he's looking at his hands. He just can't believe it. He's just looking. I can't believe what is that. I'm healed. I imagine songs begin surfacing in his heart, thankfulness. I could just imagine him praising the Lord all the way. And when he came to Jesus, he fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. This is like us. For we also see that we have been healed. We see it. We read it. We believe it. That it says that we have been forgiven, that we have been accepted and justified and sanctified and redeemed and made whole and born again, that we are in Christ, and we read it and I can't believe it. This has happened to me. I was a leper and I am healed. I was lost and now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. I did not have a song, but now I have a song. I was complaining, but now I am praising. I met Jesus, and he changed my life. It says that he gave thanks. With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell on his face, and he gave thanks. Now remember, Jesus had told the other leper, go show yourself to the priest. And he had told him to make an offering for your cleansing, for that's what they would do. The priest would say, you're healed, and then they would give an offering of thanksgiving. But this is the offering of thanksgiving right here. It is the fruit of his lips, thanking God in that moment. And that thankfulness would rise as incense to God. Look at it. I'll read to you in Psalm 116. There's a beautiful psalm, and it starts with this question. What shall I render to the Lord? Or what shall I give to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? Isn't that a good question? What can you give to God for all of his benefits to you? A man would answer that question in different ways. Or what can I give? What can I do? Can I pay back? And this is his answer. I will take up the cup of salvation. What can I give? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant. It repeats it. I am the son of your maidservant. My mom was a servant also. And you have loosed my bonds. Listen to this. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. All my days, I will call upon his name, his faithful name. I will offer a thanksgiving offering day after day after day, all my days. In New Testament language, it puts it this way in Hebrews 13. Oh, there it is. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The last line of the verse says, and he was a Samaritan. Just nudge your neighbor for a moment. Say to your neighbor, turn to your neighbor, say, hey, praise the Lord. Go ahead. Say to your neighbor, hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Just helping. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. You're just helping a couple of people who are nodding off there. It's fine. But we came to hear the word this morning. We're almost done. And he was a Samaritan. And Luke loves to highlight these unlikely candidates, these undeserving people. He loves to highlight the stories of the tax collectors or the widow or the Samaritan or the leper or the sinners. And they found grace. So wonderful. And Jesus asks these three questions. He wants to drive home this simple lesson. Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That's a sobering question, isn't it? It's not a question to bring guilt to the heart. It's a question to bring wonder to our heart that we say, yeah, how can it be that someone could find such grace and yet they go on with their life? And they don't call on the Lord all their days. They are not offering sacrifices of thanksgiving, but they are living their natural, carnal, temporal life. And they are not living a spiritual life and offering sacrifices of praise to God. What happened there? And we say, oh, wow, that's my potential. That I could forget, that I could become natural, I could become nominal, and all church could be, I could take things for granted. But someone would say to me, oh, are you going to church on Sunday? Yes. Oh, but don't you want to walk with me along the white cliffs of Peacehaven on this Sunday morning? Oh, I can't do that because I was a leper and God healed me. And I'm going to go and meet my brothers. See, we were all lepers. We were all undeserving. We were all lost. And God found us. God saved us. You understand? I must go to the house of the Lord because with my brothers, I want to offer a sacrifice of praise. I want to give thanksgiving be the fruit of my lips. I want to glorify him. I want to praise him. And I could do it on my own, but I want to do it with my brothers and my sisters because we have a common understanding that we were lost and we are found. And we sing praises together. And we do it with brokenness and our hearts are full. We are people that are thankful. Where are the 9? I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I have met people, and one day they say, oh, this is amazing, and oh, grace, and I don't know where they are, and I am not their judge, and I can't answer the question, but I'm here by God's grace. And we pray that with a frailty, and we say, oh, Lord, please help us, keep us. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose my way. I want to stay in the faith. And how do I do that? That's a good question. I need my brother. I need my sister. I need the Bible. I need preaching. I need the Holy Spirit. I need church life. It keeps me quickened. I need a quickening, a refreshing again and again as we are here this morning. It's such a blessing. He asked the last question there. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? But it is so fitting for us that we are people with an offering of thankfulness. For we know that we are unworthy. And in fact, Spurgeon said, the greater your sense of unworthiness, the better. If you feel unworthy today, wow, join us. We are all unprofitable servants, if you remember the few verses before this last week's sermon. We are unprofitable servants. We are healed lepers. We have nothing to give of ourselves. We have nothing to say. We have nothing to boast in. But Romans 3:27 says, as Paul lays out the glorious gospel, he says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. For Ephesians 2:8 says, we have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no boasting. We are vessels of grace, trophies of grace, people of grace. And we have this understanding that we are unworthy. We are unprofitable servants. We were lepers. We were so far off. And God has brought us near. And he has put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. And many will hear it and put their trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are thankful people. To the praise, the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we simply thank you. We offer a sacrifice of praise, even thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips this morning. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you. Each one of us here as Christians, we thank you for our salvation, the gift of salvation. Oh, we could never earn it. We could never deserve it. But you have given it to us who have believed. And if you're here this morning, perhaps listening online, and you've heard the message this morning, but you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure of your faith. You're not sure if Jesus is your personal Savior. Oh, this is your opportunity in your heart, even right now, to pray this prayer and say, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. I trust you this morning. I am a sinner, but you are the Savior. And you can save me. Oh, please save me today by grace as a gift, not because I deserve it, not because I can work for it, but because of your grace and mercy. I receive that gift of eternal life and salvation today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you for making me a Christian today. As I don't trust what I do for you, but I trust what you have done for me. We pray that this would just be with us through these days and through our lives, that we would call on you, just remembering always the Lamb, the price, the sacrifice, the blood, our redemption, such grace. We love you and we thank you and We sing and worship together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.